Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Take it easy. No, I'm not talking about taking it easy. I wanted to share with you taking it easy. But you're going to have to wait till the second portion of today's show because so much has happened since I took it easy. I wish I could start off with that, but I'm going to hold off on that for right now, okay? Because right now, all consuming is the coronavirus. It is just about everywhere you look. Just a few minutes ago, we issued a statement from the Western Diocese regarding all the diocesan churches. There is no directive. There is to be no activities in any of the churches save for the Sunday services. And even there, they're limiting it to people under 60 and asking the over 60 population to stay at home to follow along with streaming services, which is beautiful. So glad that they're using this means of getting it out. I guess two-dimensional, on a two-dimensional screen. Yeah, we've been doing that. Isn't that what podcasting is about? Is that what Epostle, the whole ministry, is about? So as this coronavirus has been, you know, coming out, and every day is a new adventure, so to speak, new information coming out. Just a few days ago, we made arrangements for Reclaim. You know, I've been talking about it, and we have the huge Reclaim conference now in its fourth year, and we were ready to go at that one. And actually, on Monday, I went into the diocese to talk with the crew that we do our filming with, all of our videos, our media department, and I wanted to find out if we could stream, Reclaim, and thereby avoiding the crowd having an audience. And the thought came to me because all of a sudden I'm sitting and watching the news, and I see this soccer game in Italy, and there's nobody in the stands. They're just playing soccer, and you know, I guess you watch it from your internet connection. And so it dawned on me, why don't we do that with Reclaim and avoid the crowd? But I got into the diocese, met with the media department, and just as I was speaking, the executive director walked in, and he says, look, we're really thinking about contemplating about limiting non-essential events. And I just said, absolutely, you know, Reclaim, it's essential, it's non-essential in reality. We can make it, we could postpone it. So we postponed it as of Monday. We pulled the plugs and postponed, in fact, just a few hours ago. The reason why I'm coming to you so late, it's pretty late now in Los Angeles. We spent today doing the refunds, and thank you, Susie. She's just multi-talented, multi-hats in this whole organization. But all of the refunds were issued by the end of today. And we just did the feed. We just went out and we fed Ascensia. You know, this is our regular night for our monthly feed. This month we're doing two feeds to the homeless community here in Los Angeles. And we were getting ready to go there and cook and get things ready. And just a few hours ago, we were notified that, no, we cannot go into the center to cook. And they just said, whatever you're going to do, please cook it and deliver it. So Susan actually ended up cooking. This was weird. I walked into the house and there's like these chickens cooking all over the place. And there was on a few burners in the oven and everything. So she had all these chickens going. Anyway, I don't know why I'm making light of it. I guess I'm a little bit slap happy because it's so late right now and so much has been happening. But she put together this incredible dinner and we delivered it out to Ascensia. And in the interest of safety, they had us just drop it off right at the front door and had another team that picked it up and served it inside. I don't know. It's really, really wild tonight. And here it is, pretty late night, and I'm sitting in front of this microphone. Susie's on standby. Ken's outside having a smoke. Ready to put together this podcast tonight because I feel it's so important. It's so important that we get this out. Not because, you know, it's a Thursday and we've got to do it, but there's a message. There's a message, and I want to thank you for being there to listen to the message and for your responses to these messages. But today I felt it very, very important to talk about fear. And that's what I want to talk about where we are with fear. And I think that as a church community, as Epostle, as the next step, we have to talk about, you know, not just coronavirus, like washing your hands and making sure you sneeze into a handkerchief and not into your hands and things like this. I mean, you can get that information from health authorities, but you can't get the information about how to deal with this huge pandemic at this point. They just labeled it pandemic today, but this huge situation which is touching us at every level of our lives. You can't move today. People are, and there's fear. I mean, just yesterday, my son comes into the house and he says, "It's crazy out there." He says, "People are hoarding water." Yeah, people are buying water. And the shelves are empty now of water. They're going into stores and buying water. I'm going, what? Wait a minute. How did we get from the coronavirus to buying water? I understand if you're going to be buying, like, you know, antiseptics, or you're going to be buying disinfectants, right? I mean, we just went through that last week. All the disinfectants and the hand sanitizers are all gone, but water. Because there's just no rationale at this point. I mean, yeah, I understand. You may be in lockdown, you may be in the house, but your water's not contaminated, right? Open the sink, let the water come out, and if you don't care for the taste, well, so what? It's water. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's like just this common sense is gone in people. They're hoarding water. Okay, you don't like the taste. Boil it. Boil it. You get rid of everything in there, right? But we're just doing it because we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to do these things. And so much of fear is that conditioning process. So I wanted to talk about that to you today. In fact, as you know, during this Lenten season, I'm doing 6 basic words as part of my Lenten journey at the diocese. His Eminence, the Archbishop, asked me to present the messages during the Lenten season on Wednesday evenings. We have what's called Hasukum service, 2 of the services of the Armenian Church, and the peace hour and the rest hour. Ha'agan yev hankastyan jamer kutyun. And I decided that for 6 weeks, you know, when he asked me to do it, I said, let me talk about 6 basic words. You know, words like amen. And the first week I talked about sin. What is sin? Second week I talked about this word peace. Do you know that there's no other church in the world outside the Armenian Church that uses that word peace? And isn't it interesting that we've never known peace? We have never, ever, ever known peace. And yet, the priest turns throughout the service and says, peace unto all. So that idea of peace must mean something different than what comes to our mind when we contemplate. So I talked about that last week. And this week, I was really ready to go with another one, but seeing what we went through, we were just came back from Arizona, where two of my sons, Savon and Christopher and I, we went on a small little journey through the land over there. We saw the Grand Canyon. We went out to the Petrified Forest. Holy moly. We saw that, and we had a little take-it-easy moment, which I told you I'm going to share it with you a little bit later. I need to share it with you because it is this one little bright moment that I think is important that I do share. But we got back, and this coronavirus is just hitting us in the face everywhere we go. People are talking about it in the airports. I mean, going through Arizona airport, getting back to Los Angeles airport, and we're going through so many different baggage claim areas, and people are in a sense of panic, running around, and somebody coughs, and everybody, whoa! Washing our hands multiple times. I got back from this three-day, four-day excursion with my fingers were literally peeling from the number of times I've been washing my hands. I mean, this unusual situation that we have. And so last night at the Wednesday evening service, I spoke about this one word, faith. And I want to talk to you about it today. Yes, we did. Yes, thank you. We did record it, and all of these messages have been recorded. We're going to try to get those out in the next couple weeks. We're going to try to put them out as a series of six lessons, but they are all in Armenian. So I want to give you an English version of it today. Basically, what does it mean to have faith? It means not to have fear. Fear is the antithesis of faith. No, doubt is not. Doubt is not the antithesis of faith. If you have doubt, it usually leads you to faith. Yes, because when you have doubt, you start questioning. But if you have fear, you cannot be led to faith. It means you have an absence of faith. That's why you have fear. And we're seeing fear all around us. We're seeing fear everywhere we go. The coronavirus is just making us aware of what we have. And I want to break it down to this. What is faith? Let's talk about faith. What is faith? And when I think about faith, I think of a couple other words. One is trust, right? You trust things. And the other one is expectations. If you have expectations, it leads to a trust. And if you have that trust, you then have faith. For instance, as children, right? As children, we have trust in our parents. We trust that our parents, and this is, of course, as an infant, we can't even comprehend. We don't even process this. It's just a given, okay, that parents are going to feed us. They're going to put a shelter over our head. We're going to be protected from the elements. We're going to be loved. We're going to be cared for, okay? You have this, and we depend on it, and we trust that our parents are going to give it to us. When our parents don't, what happens? We lose trust. We then are in a situation where we do not expect it from our parents. We don't trust them. And this is where we start losing faith. Perhaps in parents, perhaps in adults, perhaps in systems, perhaps in institutions, whatever it may be. When that trust is broken, you lose that faith. For instance, today, if you're living in the Western world, you're familiar with traffic signals. And those of you living in Armenia, I know you don't even care about those traffic signals, as I've seen. I don't know. Hopefully it's gotten a little bit better. But for instance, you know that if you have a green light in front of you, right? You have a green light, you're going to go. Just think about very simple terms. I'm not even asking you to think about it in spiritual terms, but you have a green light in front of you. You know you're going to go forward. You trust that the opposing traffic has a red light, right? You trust, you have an expectation. You have an expectation that the people who are going across have a red light. And therefore, you have a green light and you're going to go through that green light. If you lost that trust, for instance, one time you get into an accident, somebody runs it and everything, what happens? You start having fear. And what happens with fear? You get to every green light and you stop and you look both ways and then you go over. In other words, it becomes debilitating. The fear becomes debilitating. You cannot go through that light without stopping. If you didn't have that trust that the opposing traffic is going to have a red light, you would be stopping at every green light, looking both ways, and then proceeding. But you don't do that. Why? Because you have that expectation that somebody set up that signal properly and it's got a red light on the opposing traffic. And you have, because you have that expectation, you trust that that's what's going to happen. And therefore, you have faith. You have faith that you're going to go through. Think about in our lives, we have friends, right? When friends betray us, when we lose that trust, what happens? When we lose that trust, then we start fearing, and that fear prevents us from moving forward in relationships, in our relationships with one another, especially with the people who we've lost trust with. We have to stop, we have to inspect and look before we can go on. And it takes a while to build that trust that, yes, the light is red on the other side, and therefore I can go through that green light. Think about this. The Armenian Church, last night I told you we did two of the hours, the rest and the peace hours. The Armenian Church has 7 hours of worship. 4 of those hours are named after events that have to do with the daily cycle of the sun. We have the night hour, we have the morning hour, the sunrise hour, we have the evening hour. Why? Why this hang up with sun? Well, think about it. It's the one thing that's totally, totally, 100% dependable. Yeah, unless you're going to extrapolate way out there in a few billion years from now when it's going to blow. But for the foreseeable future, right? And at least in the history that we've known, every day that sun comes up. It's a given. So think about it. For Armenian people who have named their services by these names, how important that is. We've known genocide. We've known massacres. We've had every barbarian coming through the town. There's no peace in the area. But the one thing you do know, you have an expectation and therefore you trust that there's going to be a new sunrise and therefore you have faith. You have faith that tomorrow the sun's going to come up and there's a possibility for a new life, for a new day of living. And this is what's at the root of faith. It's this idea that, yes, I believe. I believe, I have faith that it's going to take place. I mean, there's so many different things that we hear people have said. There's a real good quote that I like from Martin Luther King. He says, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the entire staircase. The whole staircase is there. But imagine taking a step in the dark. Yeah, that's faith. That's faith. Thomas Aquinas, what does he say? He says, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary, right? But to one without faith, no explanation is possible. There you go. That's it. You find out that faith is one of those things that at some point you have to release. You have to just say, yes, I have that faith. Well, it's not that easy, right? It's not that easy, especially if you've been let down, especially if you've gone through the green and someone's hit you on the red, especially if you've said a prayer and something else has happened, especially if you've expected something and your expectations have gone sour. We live with those reactions to those expectations. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to bounce back, isn't it? Here, let me tell you a little story. It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. And it's a story I'm sure you've heard. It's the disciples are out in on the ocean. Yeah, they do these weird things. They're out in the ocean, right? They're in a boat, and all of a sudden the waves are coming and the wind is blowing, and it's a considerable distance away from the shore. And they see Jesus over there on the shore, and Jesus starts walking on the water. Yeah, he's walking on the water. And he walks over and he comes into the boat. And this is what scripture says. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. This is the words of the scripture. They cried out in fear. That's the word, fear. Now think about it. These are people who've been with Jesus through some of his greatest miracles. They've seen the feeding of the 5,000. They've seen him raise the dead from the grave. They've seen him give the sight to the blind, the hearing to the deaf. Why would they doubt? Why would they be fearful? Why would they think it's a ghost? Can't they get it through that this is somebody different? This is Jesus Christ. He's walking on the water. But what does it say? It says they thought he was a ghost and they had fear. Jesus said to them immediately, says scripture, take courage. It is me. Don't be afraid. Wow. Looking at Jesus walking, he says, do not be afraid. That's the words. He didn't say, it's me, let me in the boat, just to, hey, mellow out. He says, do not be afraid. That's the operative word. Fear, right? Don't have that fear. Peter says, Lord, it is you. Tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Okay, Peter, you want to test me? Okay. Peter says, yeah, if it's you, tell me to come to you and, you know, I'll come on the water. Jesus says, come. Then Peter, it says, got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, okay, get it? He walked on the water too. Peter walked on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He had fear, because all of a sudden you see the wind, you forget about God. And he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, help me. Immediately, says scripture, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Small little story, but an important story, right? It demonstrates what fear can do. You can walk on water. You can be with God. You can be in communion with God. He's with you all the time. But we are distracted by things that are all around us, namely the wind, namely the viruses, namely the ugliness of the world around us, people doing wrong things. And it's easy to be consumed by that and have fear. Now, throughout scripture, you'll find incredible stories, you know, of people who have faith at the right time. I like to take those scriptures even further and look at those incredible examples of faith in our own lives. I'm always just amazed at the people who've been through genocide. And I've shared with you the story of my grandmother. At age 22, she's left as a widow. Age 22, she's got two kids. She's a widow. She's out in the desert. She has to dig a ditch and bury one of her children there. The other child has malaria, and she's going through the desert, getting to her destination. If anybody had a reason to doubt and be upset with God, it would be her. And yet she recites this prayer, Bahabal namenani Christos achko vanilitsi veramin idevevi kisheri nastili dani kanali janabari nuncheli viharnel Christ, guardian of all, let your right hand shelter me by day and by night, while at home and while away, while sleeping and while awake, so that I may never fall. Wow. Faith. Faith, taking that first step even when you don't see the staircase. And when I think about these things, I think about these examples, they become inspiration for me. That in the midst of all of these difficulties that we see around us, yes, it is like the wind that is blowing what's coming out of our news services, what we're reading online, we're seeing on television, we're hearing government officials talking about this and that. This is like the wind that makes us lose that faith. Now, this doesn't mean you become careless. It doesn't mean like you say, okay, I have faith, and that means I think I'll go and expose myself to a bunch of coughers, and I'll go and see if I could pick up the coronavirus and see if I could just wish it away by being a person of faith. No, you're not stupid either, right? That's why one of the most beautiful prayers of our church is the one I just recited, Bahabana Menanin, is one of 24 verses. Another verse says, Imastutyun Horisus, Durin Zimastutyun. Jesus, you are the wisdom of the Father. Give me your wisdom so that I can think, speak, and do that which is good in your sight. And save me from evil thoughts, words, and deeds. You see, in other words, God, you've created me as a creature who has a free will, who has a head, who has a brain, who has the ability to process all of this. I'm not stupid. I'm going to stay away from these tragedies. But that doesn't mean because I see the tragedy that I will fear. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your staff and your rod, they comfort me. You're with me. And once you know God is with you, that's where you start having to, you have to develop that faith. And like I said, it's not easy. It's not easy. The disciples were right there. They were witnesses to all everything Jesus did, and they still lost faith, right? What about us 2,000 years later? Well, of course. But isn't that beautiful that during the Lenten season we have this opportunity to give ourselves like a booster shot, a booster. I like saying that word. Give yourself a booster. Yeah, it's a little bit, little extra to remind yourself that, yeah, there will be fear in the world. But courage, Jesus says, the victory is mine. And we can participate in that victory with a little bit of faith. Let's take a break right now, okay? Gave you a lot there and hope you'll process some of it as we do the song of the day like we do every week, okay? Enjoy. Thank you.
canvas, now there's color. Quiet in a court, an empty hall and a crowded room. The day you said you'd stay.
Joanna Chapman Smith, Oompa-pa. It's called Melodies. Yeah, Canadian singer-songwriter Joanna Chapman Smith. Hope you enjoyed it. It's kind of like I needed that, right? It's like a day like today with Corona on everyone's mind. It was just good to just Oompa-pa. Kind of like listen to some melodies, a pleasant voice. Just kind of takes you to a nice place. Actually, I'm going to be talking about some taking it easy places. So I hope you enjoyed that. I'll put a link on today's show notes to this musician, Joanna Chapman Smith. Happy to feature her. And like I always say, you know, like check out. If you enjoy the music, check out these sites and support these fantastic artists who make our life so beautiful.
Well, I'm standing on a corner. Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, babe, don't say babe. I've gotta know.
Ah, take it easy. Yeah, I told you I was gonna talk about it, right? Take it easy. What does this all have to do with taking it easy? And how are we going to make that transition from talking about the coronavirus to taking it easy? What is this? What is going on in this world? You know, people, we laugh because it's so serious, but some of the things that people are doing are so stupid. Did you hear that people stopped drinking Corona beer because the connection with the coronavirus? Like, okay, come on, start using some head. Okay, yeah, figure it out. Has nothing to do with the coronavirus. Corona, yeah, Mexican beer, right? Anyway, I like to, during the Lenten season, to find some time for myself. And several years ago, Susan's parents used to live in El Paso. My father-in-law had a contract out there with the government, and he was stationed out there, and we took a trip out there all the way to El Paso. We took a road trip, and we went through New Mexico, and I fell in love with this space, with New Mexico. And somewhere along the way, I had said that, you know, this would be a great place to end up. This is where I want to live. It's just beautiful, New Mexico, away from everything. And I thought, you know, it's been so long since I've been out there. Let me go out there. And I asked my two younger sons, Sevan and Christopher, if they were interested in taking a trip with me. And so this is like a couple months ago. There was no talk of coronavirus when we planned this. Like the three of us would go out. And the plan was to go out to El Paso and then go out to the Carlsbad Caverns and then come back through the Grand Canyon, and then end up in Phoenix, Arizona, where I had a baptism to do. One of my teachers, a priest, his great-granddaughter was going to be baptized, and they've asked me. Of course, he's long gone. He's long passed away, but they asked me to do the baptism. So I was really excited, and we figured we could go and see the Southwest. This is pre-coronavirus, okay? let's say it this way, pre-coronavirus hysteria, right? Because I understand the virus has been around for a while. Okay, so we made plans and we were going to go. And long story short, we ended up doing the Grand Canyon. Never made it out to New Mexico, but we did the Grand Canyon. And we did the Petrified Forest. Oh. Two incredible, incredible places. We also went to Sedona. Did Sedona, a little bit of hiking on those red mountains. Oh, unbelievable. Just so beautiful. And Grand Canyon, I don't know, it's awe-inspiring, breathtaking. You can use all these words and never really explain what a wonder it is. It's one of the seven natural wonders of the world, and rightly so. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend that you make it, put it on your bucket list, get out there. It's just more than beyond belief. And one of the things that happens when you go to a place like Grand Canyon, or you go through some of these places like Petrified Forest, and you know what it is this is a forest where the wood has just ended up in the water and the minerals have built up in the wood. So you've got these huge logs. From the outside, they look like huge logs. The trunks of the tree, but they're all petrified because they're all filled with minerals. So they're rocks, they're stones. Just unbelievable. And you're talking about being around here for millions of years. And you look at the different rock formations, whether it's in the Grand Canyon, in Sedona, at the Petrified Forest. I mean, it's stuff that you know that is under you wherever you live. But over there, it's so pronounced because you've got a canyon that is grand. And you get to see all these rocks. Just, you look at it and you go, wow. You know, you're talking about millions, hundreds of millions of years. And then you start thinking about process and reality. You start thinking about where we are in the universe, how we got here, what are we doing here, and the stories that we know as part of human history, the stories from Christ on. You're talking about 2,000 years, right? You're talking about most of human history that we know of is 5,000-6,000 years, right? Then you're looking out there and you're seeing millions, millions of years. It's awe-inspiring, it's breathtaking, it's mind-numbing too, in a good sense. No, not in a drug addict sense, but in a very good sense. Like, it makes you think and realize and really appreciate life in a new dimension. But speaking of drug addicts, I don't know if you've ever seen the series Breaking Bad, and then later on just called Saul. Breaking Bad, incredible series, but as you're driving through Arizona, oh, there it is. You're seeing these long, long distance. Every time we'd see a trailer somewhere, we'd say, okay, Breaking Bad, is that what's happening over there? Anyway, I digress like I always do. We are driving and we fell in love with, of course, the scenery and the desert and an American phenomena known as Route 66. Now, we have the 10 freeway in Los Angeles. It is the Interstate 10. And what's unique about this 10 freeway, it starts in Santa Monica Beach. You can get on the 10I Interstate 10, and you could drive it, take the Interstate 10 from Santa Monica Beach. You can go through Arizona, you can go through New Mexico, you can go through Texas, keep going all the way to Georgia, to the Atlantic Ocean. It's an interstate that connects the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's fascinating because wherever you go on this interstate, you could just it just is beautiful as anywhere else on the interstate. It's really a marvel. It's a marvel of human engineering that they've been able to put this from one side of the country to the other side, and you could be on this interstate and go all the way through. Now, what happened with this interstate is it took over what was called Route 66, which I believe started in Los Angeles and ended up in Chicago. Okay, so part of that was taken over by Interstate 10. But Route 66 is part of Americana. James Dean, you know, you think about that. I don't think he died on Route 66, but you think about the Rebel Without a Cause. You think about, you know, young people in the 50s. There used to be a show, I Get My Kicks on Route 66. And, you know, it's part of Americana. And we went on there and we got off a few times. Went to an A&W root beer. We had a root beer float on Route 66. We had a hamburger on Route 66. Yeah, it's the kind of thing you do, okay? So anyway, we went to different parts. And so we're driving on, we're riding on the main interstate, and we see a sign that Route 66, you know, has a little off-ramp here, over here. And it was, I think, you know, when towards, it was like the last day. It was like we were gone for 4 days. It was on the third day. We said, let's go and get our kicks on 66. What's on 66 today? So we get off and we see some Indian Native American artwork, jewelry. There's people selling that. And we said, let's go into the town. Let's follow the signs for Route 66. And we go into this little town. And I've got to tell you, it's like depressed economy. We're seeing like boarded up houses. We're seeing infrequently signs of life, like, you know, a couple people there or here or there. But very, very depressed economy. It's very evident. And we're driving through this little town. And we get to this one little corner. Just there's a sign that says the freeway is just ahead. So we're going to get back onto the interstate. And we look over on the corner and there's a group of people standing there. There's a group of people standing there. And I said, wait, we got to see what's going on. And literally, this is completely random. Completely random. I mean, just getting off the freeway at the point where we did to the point where we're just driving past a group of people and me wondering, what are these group of people standing on the corner for? So we parked the car and I open up the door and there is a small little bench there. And on the bench it says, take it easy. I said, oh, that's very nice. You know, people must be sitting on this bench. Take it easy. Underneath it, it says, take it easy, Winslow, Arizona. What? Something's clicking in my head. We're in Winslow, Arizona. And I looked over at the guys. I go, guys, do you know where we are? I mean, what are those people standing on a corner? Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. The Eagles. Yeah, you know the song. Take it easy, take it easy. Well, so we went running over to the corner, and there's a bunch of tourists taking pictures. We took our camera. We said, hey, can you take our picture? And we got a picture on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, and it says, standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. And fascinating. We're looking around, and then what do we see right next to it? Right into, next to the spot that we're standing, there's a flatbed Ford. A Ford truck. A flatbed, okay? It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. So they've set up this corner. They've set up this corner in Winslow, Arizona, to replicate where the Eagles were talking about. And take it easy. So here we are in Winslow, Arizona. I figured out the mystery. Why are there people on the corner? We got our souvenir picture. And now what's interesting is that there's three stores. I believe there were three. Two kitty corner from each other and one across. So of the four corners where we're at, there's three different stores. And they're selling souvenirs. So basically, this entire town's economy is based on the souvenir business of a song that the Eagles did. Okay? Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Pretty wild, huh? So, you know, the rest of the day, we've been waiting for this song to come up on the radio. You know, it's like standard fare, isn't it? You listen and you hear it at least once a day if you're listening to radio while driving. Of course, it doesn't come out. Then I find out my kid's got Spotify on his phone. I said, pull it up. Let's play it. And there we are in the middle of Arizona playing this song, Take It Easy. But here's a thought that I want to throw out at you as my next step, listeners. You know, it's interesting because we were going to do this conference called Reclaim Etchmiadzin. And isn't it a wonder? And I'm just sharing this with you because I think that you next step listeners kind of get where I'm at. Because if I said this out loud, people go, ah, no, you can't do that. But I know you know that we can do this. But think about this, okay? Here's a town, completely depressed economy, right? And they're making something out of what? A visit by a local, by an international rock band, the Eagles, who came there and wrote this song. And so, by the way, you go into each of these stores, you've got mugs, you've got t-shirts, you've got bumper stickers, Winslow, Arizona, Take It Easy, you've got the lyrics to the song, a lot of stuff, okay? They're selling it. And the entire town has like a gas station and these few stores selling Winslow, Arizona memorabilia. And like I said, completely by chance. If I hadn't gotten off right there, I'd never known about it. Okay, so I'm going to throw this out at you, right? This international rock band, the Eagles, come out there. They make this story, and then Winslow cashes in on it by selling the memorabilia. Think about what are we doing with our Armenian church? We've got a treasure, and I'm going to say this, and I know you're going to, and some of you might get offended by this, but I firmly believe it. Just a couple years ago, or a year ago, international celebrity named Kim Kardashian went to the Holy Mother See of Etchmiadzin to be baptized and to baptize her children. She was there at the Mother See of Etchmiadzin. International celebrity. She's there. What do? I'll tell you what I saw among the Armenian church. Oh, well, she's doing it for publicity. I saw every reason in the book not to reach out to her. Say, hey, this is beautiful. You understood that there was a special mystery there. You know, here in the Los Angeles area, we have baptisms, like sometimes they line up in church. We don't ask people what their motives are. They want a baptism, we baptize the baby. But somehow when it comes to Kim, why is she doing it? What do you care why she's doing it? She did it, right? And can you play off of that and let it be an opportunity for us to share with the world what the Armenian church has to offer? But it requires us believing in the Armenian church. And that's where we get into some big problems there, right? But I'm throwing this out at you because it made me realize that, you know, some of the dreams that I have to pursue them. And the only way to really make a dream come true is first wake up, open your eyes, and start doing it, doing the dreams that you want to do. And that's really going to be on one of my lists now, especially since we've postponed Reclaim Etchmiadzin. The Reclaim Conference. Now that we've postponed it, I have something to look forward to, and I'm going to work towards that end. Take It Easy. Take It Easy became a slogan for me during this trip, and I think it is the slogan that should really kind of rule our Lenten season. It's about taking it easy. Unfortunately, we're being hit around by this coronavirus and all of its effect, but it's time to just take a breath and maybe take it easy. Understand that that's what it's about. Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, it just all came to me, and I wanted to share that with you. Here is Susie, because it's very, very late at night. We're going to try to wrap this up. Here's Susie with her announcement.
Susie. Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you for listening, for staying on board, for being with us. It's some wild times. Let's all pray for guidance, for wisdom, for the knowledge of knowing good from evil, for not being taken. I think that's one of the hardest things. In fear, that's what happens. When people are fearful, they start moving irrationally. I said it earlier today. It just doesn't make sense, you know. People are hoarding water and toilet paper. Like, what's going on, folks? We're talking about a flu. We're talking about a strain of a virus that's going to give you flu-like and perhaps pretty severe syndroms. It can lead to death. Yes, it can. So be cautious about it. But don't be silly about it, you know? Buying water when your tap water is right there is kind of silly, isn't it? I understand. You want good tasting water. Okay, very good. Congratulations. But to hoard, some lady just walked into Costco yesterday. This was on the news. 12, are you ready for this? Not month. 12-year supply of toilet paper. What are you expecting? I mean, I hate to say it. Is this like a diarrhea situation? What's going on here? What is going on with this world? So use some common sense. Wash your hands. Stay well. Stay away from crowds, what they're advising us. And if you do feel symptoms, go take care of yourself, you know? We all have that ability to do that. And our prayer should be for the good health of not only our physical being, but our emotional and our spiritual being as well. Jesus says so beautifully, "What profit a man if he inherits the world but loses his soul?" That soul has to be strengthened. It has to be fed, just like the physical body has to be. And that's why I thank you for joining us. I hope we can feed that soul. I hope that you find that here in the Next Step. And it shouldn't end with the Next Step. I hope it leads you to something beautiful in Orthodoxy, in Armenian Orthodoxy, in the Armenian Church, to find the beauty that we've had, where people have seen genocide, they've seen suffering, have seen martyrdom, have seen massacres, and yet they've stopped and they've said that we are here and there is something greater than ourselves to be worshipped and to be followed. Find that. And this is the Lenten season, perfect time to do it. I want to wish you all the best and thank you very much for joining us this evening. Drop me a line if you feel like it. I'm at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle is apostle with an E, because we're an electronic ministry doing apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. On that, all right, the band's queued up and we're ready to move forward. I want to thank you for joining us. Meet us on all the socials and, of course, at the mothership, inhisshoes.org. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-power on top limits.